This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Jetson's there, Billy did! The goal Chris Billy Huddersfield Town! The most famous goal of Chris Billy's life.
Is this the moment for Lee Fowler? It is! Take your place in Division 2, Huddersfield Town!
Thank you.
Champion Steve Simonson's boots now. He's missed. Steve Simonson clears the frame of the goal and collapses in a heap of tears. Huddersfield Town are promoted.
Mustafa Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend.
Hello and welcome to episode 203 of the Andy Takes That Chance podcast. This Saturday, the Lightning Bomber struck twice, two goals and two subs making the difference, and 3 points for the Terriers to give new boss Andre Brighton-Wrighter the perfect start and push Huddersfield Town up to the heady heights of 19th at one point. This week, to discuss the past week's news and matches, we've got the Cosmotron himself, Richard Cossey, or is it Coffee Cosmala? And a man who's had his enthusiasm rekindled through his love of Germans, it's Josh Quirk. How are we doing, boys?
All right, guys. Matt's bringing the hair because me and Josh...
we're struggling on that for now.
Josh is doing better down on his chin, to be fair, than I'm doing anywhere. But, you know, when you get 3 points, mate, don't matter whether you've got a mullet or whatever, it's just happy days, isn't it? Happy days. What a win, eh? Fantastic. What a start for Andre.
19th. Let's kick off then. This episode, as always, is sponsored by Magic Rock Brewing. So use our code of AHTTC10 for 10% off all online orders at www.magicrockbrewing.com. And you can head down there to the tap room at Birkby on match day as well. It's quite an easy walk down to the ground as well if you're taking things. And they've always got a decent food truck on as well if you're a fat knacker like me. So let's kick on with things. Right then. Watford 1, Huddersfield Town 2. Josh, you were in the away end for this game. What was the mood like in the stands sort of before the game? Because the last game we went to, Darren Moore as manager was a little bit negative, wasn't it? Could you feel the sort of more anticipation, a bit more excitement in the away end?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. A real good away end, to be fair. Loud all game, but yeah, before game, you could just feel it sort of around, like driving down. Me and my mate were like, "We'll win today." There's just, I know there's something about Watford where we do well anyway, generally, but I think it would just start thinking it's since he's come in, Brighton Wright. It's one of them where you just sort of think you sort of look at it and go, "Could it happen again? Is it going to happen again? He's saying the right sort of things?" And yeah, well, it was a good away end. I think people were there to really get behind. It wasn't like it was like we've had under Darren Moore and stuff. It was very much more worthy set the platform for it, didn't they? And it would just sort of, it lifted everyone up. I mean, when I saw the team sheet, I were a little bit like, ooh, when there's no Sauber Thomas playing or Balker's out injured, you thought he probably didn't need that in his first game. But Yeah, I think everyone were buzzing, mate. Everyone just couldn't really see, couldn't wait to see what was going to unfold on the pitch.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. So the old late switcheroo, which you mentioned there, Josh Huddersfield, Radulovic and Pearson both reporting on the day with colds. Pearson played, Radulovic didn't. He was on the bench. Sauber Thomas not appearing due to a personal reason. And obviously, we all wish him all the best on the podcast. We all love Sauber Thomas on here. And Balker out with a quad injury, which hopefully should just only keep him out for that Watford game. Meaning the first lineup of the new era saw a change in shape as well to a 3-4-1-2, Darren Moore's favourite. And Town pretty much, because he carried on where they left off from under John Worthington. And Andrew Brighton Wright said he wasn't going to change anything immediately because it'd be silly, which was music to my ears as well, because the last thing you want is for someone like Darren Moore. Darren Moore just kind of came in, didn't he, and said, right, we're going to do it this way. And there was no sort of adaption period, if you like. So when Andrew Brighton Wright said it's too late to change anything, you just thought, oh, thank God, a sensible manager who realizes you can't just come in and click your fingers and everybody's dancing to your tune. So yeah, they carried on pretty much where Worthy left off in the same style with the high press and played some nice stuff, didn't they, at the start?
Yeah, the start, there was things noticeable to me, like Watford's were looked pretty appalling. And I thought our crowd getting our back. I spent some time at Watford when Lee Bromby were there. When Lee were there, I spent a lot of time there. They got in playoff semi-final and stuff, so went to a lot of their games. And their crowd have always been supportive when I've ever been there. And I always thought they've always been supportive since, but it was unbelievable, wasn't it? What happened in the first 5-10 minutes when they were passing back? Mm-hmm. I thought we were giving some stick last, you know, with Pearson when he's passing back under Moore. It was unbelievable. I've never heard a Watford crowd like that ever. Boo! So I thought, here we go, you know, let's cash in. And yeah, it just obviously you got Ben Aymer in the goals as well. Sure, he got a bit of stick behind that goal, Josh. But yeah, seemed to play well when there were no fans in. But you know, when he did have fans in, it was poor. But and again, Livermore, how old is he? Unbelievable, just pulled out of nowhere, don't he? It's like so. Yeah, kind of Watford and a bit of experience. But I thought we started well, Matt, without really looking like we were gonna like rip him. I thought Bergsorg, obviously early on, two chances. He with a guy with his gloves. I just can't get used to them, and he was quite mild as well yesterday. But yeah, again, it just shows a little bit more strengthening on the bench that, you know, yeah, Thomas I thought were a big miss, but Bergsorg did a good job, you know, early doors, and was pretty much anything that we did well up in the top end of the pitch, it was down to him and that as well. So yeah, I thought he was good. But yeah, I said to you last week, Matt, on that pod that we did, that the best thing about what's happened with Worthy wasn't even just the wins, really. Well, probably obviously it was, but it was just how he kind of changed the setup, changed the dynamic, changed the positivity. So I didn't think, you know, Andre had to come in and do a right lot. And obviously, you know, he had to make the changes with, you know, Sauber sound like some maternity issue and Balker. But yeah, apart from that, I didn't think he's an experienced guy anyway. And he was saying in his press conference, wasn't he, that he's not going to come in and do massive changes. It'd have been stupid to do so. So a little bit of tweaking. And yeah, as bad as Watford were in the first 20 minutes, I thought we were good. But usual Town thing, we didn't get that goal. And it left you feeling, you know, kind of where we go from here. But I don't know how far you want me to kick it on, Matt, because the two subs.
Well, I thought what I'll do is we'll break it down into three sets of 30 minutes, because I think that's how the game sort of panned out, isn't it? I think Town were the best side for the first 30.
So I've got them Watford subs to the talk about then, haven't I? Because they were 27 minutes. I've done some notes.
We're still
here,
talking
Matt.
About the first 30 really here, aren't we? So, yeah, I mean the first 30, Bergsorg had that threat, didn't he? I thought that one where it just dropped wide, I thought that was dropping in the middle of the goal. I was pretty much in the sky. Yeah, I was in the sky ready to take off for that one. And Bergsorg again, that nice little foot roll, didn't he? Sold the defender really well and left foot. Ben Hamer makes quite a good save, and it's, to be honest, it's quite good to see Ben Hamer back playing quite well again after the bad time he had. But you know, Town gained a lot of territory, didn't they? And Watford looked really ropey but threatening, if that makes sense. So they looked really bad, but when they got the ball in our final third, in our defensive third, you were thinking, oh crap, they could do something here. And Tom Ince had that shot, didn't they? But I thought Radoni was quite prominent in the first 30. I thought he had a good opening half an hour. But like Cozzy says, that they made two subs, didn't they, Watford, after 27 minutes. And
incredible.
Once they made those two subs, Josh, Watford sort of took the emphasis off us a little bit. We were on the front foot attacking, and we kind of they dealt with us a lot better, didn't they? And decided to and started to get down the flanks a bit more, and that's where we were a little bit overmanned, if you like. So the next 30 was a bit of a tougher period for us, wasn't it? And I suppose you were biting your nails a little bit in the away end.
I think it was one of them. I think they just took us some time to adapt to it. I think they put Tom Ince on and he sort of picked up that role like Radoni were doing for us, just sort of finding the space just between midfield and striker and moving in there. And it just took a bit of time really to pick up on that. But yeah, I mean, the first sort of 25 minutes I thought were brilliant. We pressed, we weren't like full throttle press. It wasn't, we just sort of picked as times went to go at them. And we did it really well. Like Cozzy just said, like their fans were on the back from 10 minutes in. They were booing. And it's only because I think they've got a little bit, they're a bit bored with the football they're playing. It seems to be quite possession based. And I think they want to get it forward a bit more. And because they weren't doing that and they were getting picked off and the press that we were putting on them, they were struggling to get out and getting caught on the ball. I think they just really lost their heads. And then obviously their manager had to make the changes just to try and change something, because I think a goal were inevitable if it had kept it same.
Incredible, them changes though, Josh.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was an injury, yeah.
I think Mourinho's done it before. I've seen that before with Mourinho, but I can't remember seeing it kind of at our level, this happening. And I had to laugh here at that corner. I think I just saw him this morning waiting for 229 to go into Huddersfield, because he just kept walking and walking, didn't he? Yeah. Up that tunnel and
Yeah,
I mean, that chance that inside was a bit worrying, really, because I've watched it back a couple of times today. Matt, you've got me doing my research now. I feel like my
squad, time, innit?
Because it's under, I feel like my place is under threat, you know, on this podcast, because I'm always away and stuff. But yeah, that Ince chance, I can't work out. Matos kind of was later on kind of trying to cover, but I don't know if it was Nakayama, but it was just bizarre, wasn't it? They created nothing, and all of a sudden the Ince is like so much space. And I think it was kind of a standard save.
It was
save,
just a good
really.
Ball through, wasn't it? I think it was Asprey, who was probably their best player on day, just sort of managed to cut inside and just...
Yeah, Asprey,
it was a really good ball, to be fair. Like, cut through, and he just managed to peel off, didn't he? And I mean, luckily, he just hit it. He didn't really have time to hit it anywhere apart from where he hit it. So we got a bit lucky on that. But I think that was just because we were so high up the pitch. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just from our press, and we just slacked off a little bit, and he had that Asprey had the skills all day to be able to just take one touch and find a pass. But like I said, apart from that, I didn't really feel worried at all first 25, 30 minutes that Watford were going to create anything.
No, they did. They like created nothing. But I think the thing is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk about the kind of relegation picture later on, but you're hearing scores and some unbelievable scores coming in, like Millwall are winning at Southampton, Sheffield Wednesday are winning, and all of us, I know it's about what we do, quoting the great Brian Orton, but it is like, you know, just you're thinking, they look crap. We were the better team in the first half, but it's still 0-0. And the town fan in you thinking, bloody hell, you know, we need to be winning this, and we probably should be in front. We didn't create a right lot, really. But going in half time, it was really interesting, kind of. Look, you always have a look at X, I can't call it Twitter now, but there's some really radical. Difference of opinions.
Then.
Yeah, there was some quite difference of opinions. There was a few people saying I didn't think we did that well, and there were, you know, we should be winning. I thought, and then there was others saying, yeah, we played really well. So, yeah, there was quite a. To me, when it's 13 games to go, it's all about results, innit? We're not. Yeah, we want to watch.
It wasn't a 90-minute performance, was it? Like I say, we've broken this down into 3 30-minute spells. The first 30 was good. The second 30, not so good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when Watford scored. And I think it's probably the first little mistake Brody Spencer's made since he came into the side, the ball down the side, and he's kind of got a bit caught up trying to be physical, and he's just got Asprey a skip around him there, hasn't he? And he's put the ball across, and Tom Lees has gone to block a first time shot, hasn't he? So, you know, as a defender, you take a gamble sometimes, don't you? And throw your body in when you think there's a shot. And to be fair, you've got to sort of say Emmanuel Dennis, that's a really good first touch, isn't it? And then the finish is really good as well. So I'm not going to have a go at Tom Lees there. He's gone. He's tried to
run his ass.
Looks like he's going to be a shot. Yeah, it looks like he's going to shoot. And it'd have been a great block if he'd have done it, but he didn't. And it's a good touch and a good finish. And at that point, you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure we deserve that.
No, it was a bit deflating when that, wasn't it? But it was a weird setup, wasn't it? Because that guy just like a massive header, wasn't it, to the sidelines, and it was behind. Roddy Spencer was, you know, quite far behind. Spreer but caught him up, and then like you say, just got bumped off really, and as well, and he still had obviously a lot to do there, but you know, cut it in, and it were unbelievable, really, because you're just thinking, wow, where did that come from? But in the back of your mind, I think you always knew that Watford could never be carry on being as bad as that in the second half. And yeah, it is deflating because you're just thinking, God, how can they be in front here when we've done that? But no, I'm like you, Matt. Brody Spencer has done far too much good than bad. And if we're just picking people out for one thing, and like you said, if he had his time again, you might have, you know, kind of not gone in on there, stayed on his feet a little bit.
Yeah, but you get that with young players, don't you?
His speed, I'm positive about Brody Spencer. He's so quick, isn't he? Like to get into positions and get forward and stuff like that as well. It's, you know, fantastic. But yeah, Josh, it must have been gutting from like behind that goal, just thinking, I bet you're all shaking heads, thinking, what the hell's going on here? We're getting beat.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much, mate. I think we all just looked around and just went, how is this happening here? Like, we don't deserve to be losing. They've had one really good chance, scored it, and you just think it's going to happen again, this, isn't it? We're going to have all player, be the better team so far, and just one sort of lapse in concentration, one mistake, and bang you one down. It would just... Every team's got quality players, and it's just one of them. It's just their two probably quality players on the day in Dennis and Asprey just managed that at that moment just to combine. And unfortunately for Brody Spencer, who were really good again all day playing on left, just didn't manage to get his tackle right, and he's managed just to nip round him. And like you said, Matt, it's just really good play by Dennis, I think, really. He's just managed to see Tom Lee's coming, sold him a bit of a shimmy, taking a touch, and then there's no what Nichols can do about the finish. He's just rifled it in top corner, hasn't he? So,
it's a good finish, isn't it? Once he's got in the position, fair enough. And I'm quite pleased Brody Spencer's made a mistake, just for any scouts watching, you know, just so we don't want to be losing him too quickly because he's been phenomenal, hasn't he? After that, Town were maybe fortunate not to go 2-0 down because Tom Ince has two chances. One just goes past the post, he skies another one over the bar. There's a cross that comes in and Rajovic, the striker, it's hard to score, to be honest, but he's got a header which is not very well picked up with, and he puts that quite wide, doesn't he? And at this point, you're thinking, God, hold on. And
that Martins had loads of space, Matt, to give to Ince. I don't know where it came from all of a sudden. We're like, what is going on here? We fall in the park because the sub had just happened before then, weren't it? Where, I'd like to think that he were going to change it anyway, but the fact he kind of Og went in and he got absolutely clattered by two guys, didn't he? And it's like, then he's kind of doing the signal, I've got to come off and that as well. And sometimes in football, I think sometimes you have a bit of luck, don't you, where you're just like, maybe he might have made that change anyway. I suppose it doesn't matter now, but obviously then Wardy come on. But it was unbelievable to think that we could be 2-0 down when we were, I'll say we were dominant. We didn't create a lot, did we? But it was just like, to be 2-0 down had been a travesty. But yeah, I think Tom Ince, I don't know if paid off, but he had his town shirt on underneath, didn't he? Yeah.
Do you remember when we had him in the Premier League? He was like that for us all the time. I remember Swansea away in particular.
Yeah,
he got into some great positions, and then he just missed by like 2 inches or something, wouldn't he? It would just go wide or over.
People I watch him and said, don't they just sum up Tom Ince's career just like that, really, what happened yesterday? We just had the moments in the position, but kind of fluffed his lines. But obviously, we'll always remember that Watford goal, ironically.
He paid for his transfer fee with that, though, didn't he? Watford goal, to be fair. So the next 30, I thought the Hog substitution, Hog going off oddly sort of helped us in a way. And that's not, it's not a dig at Hoggy. It's just that when we changed and Ben Wiles came on, it just allowed us to be a bit more fluid in midfield. Radoni was pulling out to the right and then Wiles was pulling out to the left. And we saw that shot Ben Wiles had, which went over the bar and landed on top of the net, which would have been some goal. And then we just started to turn it around. And you know, when you know you've got a good manager when he makes substitutes, don't you? And they come off. And just to finish point on Hoggy as well, I think he picked up an injury in training on Thursday, and that was what flared back up when he got knocked to the back in the match. But you know, holding back the years like a mustachioed Mick Hucknall, there was a ball in from Yuta Nakayama and Danny Ward. It's a lovely run across his man, and he powers the header in. Ben Hamer, will he be disappointed? I don't know. He got a bit on it, didn't he? But you'd have to do a lot more to save that. It's a good header and it's in and it's 1-0. Yeah. And you think, do you know what? We've probably deserved that. And then all of a sudden, and the other substitution that Brighton Wrighter makes, Tom Edwards. Who'd have thought? Tom Edwards on right wing back.
We did.
I'm sure the sort of feeling in the away end would have been like a bit perplexed. And Tom Edwards came on, and a little bit of redemption for Tom Edwards. He came on, did quite well, competed, and he put that ball in, and Danny Ward pokes in again, and all of a sudden Danny Ward's decided Oh, Danny Ward's back, isn't he? I mean, he's had a bad time through injury this year. I think his Achilles has been bad, but he looked like the Danny Ward of the playoff season, didn't he? He was really sharp. And I didn't know about Radulovic having a cold prior to the game. So I was spitting when
I hope you get well soon, Bojan.
Yeah. I was spitting when he brought Ward on for Radulovic because I thought it was Radulovic's kind of game. Do you know that I didn't think their defenders were all that physical, and you know, we were putting balls in the box and we put one in and Danny Ward scores with a header. And you know, that's why Brighton Writer's the man and I'm just some knobhead with a microphone and a podcast. So there you go. So
but the biggest take out of that, people forget, how did we get the ball to Nakayama? Ward chased a lost cause. And he got a throw in. And then the ball was thrown to Nakayama. Nakayama crossed it in. It was Ward's hassle, Ward's effort. Picked up, obviously, by Mooney on the commentary and that as well. But I watched it again today. It was really good. You know, it's like hassle and chasing and stuff like that as well. He kind of created his own goal, if you want to look at it like that as well. And it was really weird, wasn't it, Nakayama, in so much space. There were some weird moments in the game where both players, like Watford guys and ours, were like in acres of space. But yeah, just what an header. You can't beat an header like that, though, can you? And I suppose, Matt, go on, throw it back to you, ex-keeper and stuff. But Hamer, I thought it was a decent goal from a Town point of view, but should he have done better, mate?
I don't know. It's a fine line between he's done well to get something on it, and then but once you get something on it, you're always disappointed as a goalkeeper. But he probably did quite well to get something on it because it's a good header.
Which is a good header, to be fair.
Yeah, we'll give it Wardy. That was a great, and the second goal was a great finish as well, Josh, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a weird one. Like I say, with Tom Edwards' substitution, I think the whole stand just sort of went, "What?" It were a really weird sort of it was just weird in stand when they announced him coming on, because I think everyone just sort of looked at each other and went, "What's he seen here that no one else has seen?" But to be fair to him, like, I mean, not going back, I think he got done a couple of times going backwards, which we sort of expect. But I think up the top, because we're pressing and going for the goal, he was actually, he were all right further down pitch. And like I say, it were a good ball, innit? He managed to sort of shape it right round. I don't think they expected it. It's a great run by Ward. He's just managed to get it to the front post and just angled it back across keeper. It were a really good finish.
I think before that as well, though, there were a big effort from Wiles, who I thought did well when he came on.
Yeah.
Just bent past the post and that as well. I thought that were going in at one point and that as well. And again, going back to our mate Ince, that Sema guy just did about five step overs and that as well and put Ince in. And he were very similar to the first goal, the first effort he had as well. That were another big miss as well. So, yeah, we did ride his luck, but you know, how many times have we seen this season when we've kind of not had any luck? And you could argue that where Darren Moore set us up and we played and that as well, you know, fortune favours the brave. And, you know, Andre, have you noticed how I keep saying Andre because I'm struggling with his second name, but I'll get there. But, brought in. I mean, we're incredible. I'd love to have had, like, Town fans mic'd up, whether they're at the game at home or other side of the world, like Mr. Hinnan. You know, when Tom Edwards, it was just incredible, wasn't it? Substitution, replay. What is going on? But he obviously knew that he was going to turn it into a Cafu. And
I think it allowed him, though, as well, just because we are going off, it allowed him just to move Kasumu back into midfield because he went back into that sort of number six role and just put a proper right foot, just put a right footer on that side and keep Brody Spencer on left. Mm. And to be fair, I think Kasumu, he had a good game, but I think he got better when we made that substitution just because of his energy. I think he's been, I've been a bit of a critic of Kasumu, to be fair, sometimes. I think he's had a lot of energy, a lot of work rate, but I think sometimes he's been really poor on ball. But I think over the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks, I think he's looked the player that we thought we were signing. But I think that did make a bit of a difference, to be fair, when he put him back in midfield.
It's weird, isn't it, in football, like superstitions and lucky grounds. You know, sometimes as a supporter, I used to have a pity go to Bradford and winning every other time we went there and that as well. No, we kind of blotted
us. Because they were shit, mate.
Yeah. But like Danny Ward, I were there that game, I think Red Hot Day, was it in May? I remember Fancy Dress and stuff when he got that hat-trick.
2014, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's just incredible. But yeah, it's just totally amazing what he like. Tom Edwards just does that. Danny Ward just does that. I'm a big Pat Jones fan. I was shouting for Pat Jones and he didn't even come on. And Radulovic, obviously, we didn't know he had the cold. So, honestly, don't you think that's good signs? You might say lucky manager, but I think they're really good signs
a good sign a manager changes the game.
Lucky manager.
No, brilliant. Yeah, and he's celebrations afterwards as well were quite good, weren't they? Not as chest beating as Wagner and Sievert. Sievert didn't get many wins, did he? But you know, when he did, he made you know about it, which was quite fun. But you know, just a nice picture of him, isn't there, celebrating afterwards? And Cozzy, I think, was it Cozzy who tweeted it on the Andy Takes That Chance account? Him or Brady? Those are the pictures.
Yeah, well, me, mate. But they are.
And that's a good picture, wasn't it? Where he's just just a good picture that.
The camera. You know what though, Matt? I said in the thing we did in the midweek, he just feels a really calm guy. You know, it's like, I think the good thing is, like we all know, there's a lot of work to do, and as great it is, we're still only two off the bottom three. But and it were a great win, obviously, kind of from behind. You know, look like we might have to settle for a point. But I love the fact, because I think crowd were wanting that woo woo, you know, the old Wagner German thing, but it didn't happen. And I just like his calmness about everything, and his subs. You were very calm, and just I will come on to his interview after, and yeah, it was just such a positive day, really, as well, and it needed to be, really, because you look at, obviously we've got next week, but that were a must win game, and when you're a goal down on the hour, and you know he's hardly had any two training sessions I think he'd had with him, and that as well, we've got, you know, a couple of key players missing. I thought we missed Sauber Thomas badly in the game, but
definitely on the delivery. Definitely the delivery wasn't good, was it, from set pieces? Yeah,
no, it wasn't. But honestly, I thought Ismail had done an absolute, kept his job by making the two subs, you know, canning the guys and turning it around. But it turns out now that
he said he'd swapped all 11, didn't he? When he did it, he said he'd have swapped all 11, which made me laugh.
And unfortunately, as in football, they only swapped one, didn't they, last night? And that were him. And this is the trouble when you're a manager, honestly, just. Zero. But like you said, Josh, it's been building up down there, hasn't it, that as well?
And
for Watford to nearly go to March without sacking a manager, pretty impressive, really. So, yeah, I were calling us the Northern Watford on a podcast I did with their guys last week, you know, because, well, so many changes that we've had this year. But, yeah, absolutely fantastic result. And, again, I'm not one normally for looking at other scores and stuff like that, but I was drawn into it all yesterday, and it was just unbelievable when you were seeing some of the stuff that were happening elsewhere, and you're just thinking, come on, Tam, even a point really wouldn't probably cut the mustard knowing what we've got next week, and to get the two, absolute Brucey bonus. But yeah, it just keeps it going, doesn't it, and that as well. And I don't know what the form table's like, Matt, but there can't be many that
we must
be
in there. I've got it in front of me.
Yeah, we're nice. Don't you worry about that.
I've got that ready. But we'll come to that when we do the relegation picture. But what players stood out for you then? In terms of the game, for me, Matty Pearson stood out a lot. You know, he had a poor game, didn't he, last Saturday in the home game against Hull. But you know, he's ill, and he's out there playing. You know, playing 90 minutes, and I thought Matty Pearson was good. I thought he was really solid, really good. You know, full credit to him. You know, really good response from. And you know you'll get that from Matty Pearson, don't you? Because he's a leader, isn't he? And he's a proper warrior type. Okay, he's not going to be Ronald Koeman and picking people out with, you know, accurate 80-yard passes. That's what Balker's there for. But I just thought Matty Pearson was just very good, very solid. Back to what we know and love with Matty Pearson, and just that he'll just head anything. What he'll head anything. He'll kick anything. And as Phil Senior always says, he just growls at everything as well. I thought Matty Pearson was decent. Josh, if you had to pick someone out.
I thought Rodoni played well. I think it was just one of them games where he was managing to find a lot of space, and he had quite a few chances, but no, really just ended up coming, just working out for him. He had a couple of chances to pull the trigger, and he just either took a touch too much or just his pass just went away. But I think finding space, he caused him problems all day. Probably one of the most influential players on the pitch. I think Nakayama, just due to the fact that even though he's only had two training sessions, Bright and right, they were a little bit more playing around at the back. You could see we were trying to move the ball quickly and move it in and out in triangles just to probably open up Watford a little bit more and try and find a bit more space. And I think Nakayama does help that on left hand side because he's good on the ball. Obviously, sometimes he does get caught, but on the ball, if we're trying to do it, you know, we need someone like that in the side. But probably, if I would pick one, I'd probably say Rodoni, just because he was just. First hour, first 30 minutes, he was just everywhere, just pick it ball up. They didn't seem to know how to deal with him, really, for the first 25 minutes of game.
Cozzy Bear?
Yeah, obviously 10 out of 10 for originality, but Mr. Daniel Ward, just game changer. Just starting from winning that throw into Scott, that header, to obviously the beautiful anticipation of Tom Edwards. And yeah, obviously Tom Edwards and me always been I've always been a firm favourite of the ex Premier League defender. But you can't argue, Matt. He's made a contribution to Huddersfield Town at last, and a positive one as well. So yeah, I thought we're going to thought Matos again. Probably without, you know, in the heights of maybe the couple of weeks before and that. So he's just reached a consistency, mate, that just he looks yeah. I look at him now and think next season, well, I wonder where he'll end up, because if anyone's watching any of our games, any news, because obviously we're gonna be on Sky the next two home games, it's if they fancy like a midfielder who's gonna absolutely give you 120%.
He's got a lot of bite, yeah. He's got a lot of like engine. Him. He's like Hog 2.0 a little bit, isn't he? He just needs the experience that we're giving him. But I think next year, if we could get him on loan next year, he'd be fabulous, wouldn't he? Yeah.
The thing is, Matt, do you blame more for why he's not taken off? Or is it just a bedding in process? I know everyone's sticking a boot in on more. Port Vale, obviously.
Oh, what? Sorry.
Port Vale, obviously, you know, he's three defeats out of three, so people are.
Did you see that goal Port Vale conceded? Do you see the free kick where the defender? The goalkeeper were out of his goal, and the defender had it on the edge of his box on a free kick, and he just passed it straight to the striker. Empty net.
Goals and assists. No, my question there, though, for you guys is: what is it? Just because he's playing. Better, and the team are playing better, or do you think Moore used him wrong for them first few games? Because it just seems I thought, what were the fuss about, to be honest? Because we did a big write ups about him, and I didn't see it the first three, four games, but
Moore had him sitting. I think Matos is all about energy and all about getting around the pitch and throwing himself in. And I think under Moore, there might have been a bedding in process, but I felt he had him a bit more conservative and had him sitting a bit more. So he had him a bit more restrained and Worthy, wasn't it? Let him off the leash. And I think it was Worthy's first game where Matos was unreal and you were like, hello, this is a completely different player. But I think the way we play now really suits Matos, and the way Darren Moore set up didn't suit him as much. It's just one of those things, isn't it? But again, he's bedded in really well. And to be honest, out of all the January signings, you look at Matos and you think, do you know what? That's the best one.
Oh, mate, he just looks like he's been at the gym like 24 hours a day, to be honest with you. He's absolute, ripped and that as well.
He's still running. He's probably run home, yeah. It's just...
Obviously, we don't want to talk too much about next week because there'll be a lot of previews and stuff like that as well. But when you think Leeds man for man, we were saying before there won't be many you'd swap. Matos will, I don't say getting there, maybe getting there to him, maybe he won't, but he's someone who's going to like cause some real issues for them next week, where when you think in the first game and that as well, they were just running right in our midfield, weren't they, and that as well. So it'll be a lot more steely next Saturday as well. But yeah, just fantastic. It was really strange because I kind of thought we were sold like this cheeky little winger who's, we're going to score a few goals and set something up. But we've kind of gotten a much more rounded player, really, and that as well. And, obviously he's tackling. Sometimes you're like, and your mouth part of me still thinks he's going to get a red before the end of the season, but he just seems to be tempered that a little bit as well. And I think, what a signing. Great work from the recruitment team to get him in.
Yeah, fan, Josh?
Yeah, I am. I think the first sort of couple of games, I just thought it was very raw. You could tell that it was probably his first time playing at sort of this sort of level, but I do think he's matured into a really good a really good footballer. He looks like the player we'd hoped we'd be signing from Chelsea, because they've never really let us down with players, have they? But yeah, he's just one of them.
Three played in the League Cup final, didn't they, for Chelsea? Chilwell, Chalobah and Colwell that we've all had. So yeah,
I think you were right, Matt, though. I think now he's been sort of not just asked just to sit and shadow in front of the back line, and he's allowed to run around pitch and just try and cause havoc. He just looks a much better player, because he doesn't let people settle on the ball. Even against Watford, he would just up and at him in the faces. He's one of them players that you like watching, because he doesn't let opposition settle. And the way we're trying to play, we need them sort of players, because we need to try and win the ball early. And I think, it's suiting him down to the ground now.
Brody Spence, I know, obviously, we've discussed the goal when he got bumped and turned, but it's just incredible now. It's almost like Roger Spencer's been like here for five seasons, and you're just expecting this quality play, this consistent play all the time. And it's absolutely incredible what he's doing. I know we've waxed lyrical in some of the other pods when, you know, and probably has contributed a little bit more. But I noticed it's like the player of the month vote, and there were quite a few names from there. I mean, God, you've been struggling the last few months to pick anyone really, but now there's a, it's quite competitive. It'd be interesting to see who gets it. But to me, Brody Spencer, it's just like ridiculous. You know,
wrong side as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd give it Brody. Yeah. I'd definitely give it Brody.
It's fantastic, mate, and that as well. And yeah, I know the old cliche, but he's just like new signing. You could argue that, you know, probably our best recruit really in January, everyone won that we had. But yeah, just fantastic, mate. And again, he'll be turning heads. So let's hope, you know, we can get him tied up on a long-term deal or something.
You were impressed with the interview, weren't you, Cozzy? Brighton Writers interview post-match. On the club channel. I mean, there's someone there and he's just got quite a nice, charming manner about him, doesn't he? He's not boring, but he's not overly excited. He's got this nice, calm, sort of one of, you like your nice uncle feel about Uncle Brighton, right? It just has this kind of nice, genuine, like you say, a good calmness, but a jolliness as well, doesn't he? He's just a good fun listen, isn't he? Oh, that was anyway.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And I know, obviously, I used to think Wagner would come, but I'm just kind of having flashbacks now at Dart against Derby when he's bushing past Steve McLennan, jumping on Terry the Terrier, and obviously his Gary Monk dance and stuff like that as well. But I thought most of the time he would come. But yeah, I just love what he's about, mate, and that as well. And his interview, I thought it was quite telling when he was mentioning about Tom Edwards. He said, not played since October. The guy seems to have done so much research on us. It is scary. And you know, we mentioned it on that mini pod we did on Wednesday, Matt, but it's just like, this isn't the guy who's like, you know, look at my CV, right, you know, now do you want to offer me the job? It's like, he's obviously come with details and stuff like that as well. I love how detailed he is in that as well. And yeah, really calm. One of the things I really liked as well, because, you know, DTS were obsessed with the fans this and the fans that, but he said there'll be a good time in all the pubs around Huddersfield tonight. And I love that because, yeah, when you go to Germany, honestly, it's still their pub culture, their drinking culture. Everything's about winning and then, you know, singing club songs and standing on bars. I've seen that last few trips I've been. No matter where you go, you get all that. So I love that. It's, you know, a bit like Kevin Nagel, really. He's bought into the area already. And they were really at pains to say that, Matt, last week. I thought in the press conference, it was almost like people were saying, well, what do you know? What are you doing here? What do you know about us? And he was like, well, I know about you. I've been here before. I've had dinner. I know the area. I know your players. And I love the fact that he was saying all this, where it was almost like some of the reporters were like treating him as though he was just kind of some kind of novice. You know, really, this guy's won titles, bags of experience, and he knows what he's doing. And yeah, I just thought there was some really good signs yesterday, Matt. And it just looked like a chat, didn't it, on the pitch, really. I think Dave Sykes were more excited than Andre, really, in that as well. And obviously, it'll be fascinating this week, obviously, leading up to the game. I'm sure they'll try and push him. And I'll never forget when, God rest his soul, when Scoffer organised a night with David Wagner just after the, I think it was after the, in the promotion season as well, up at a local working men's club. And I asked him a question. I said, David, what's been your best moment being the town manager? This is where we're in the Premier League. He says, I'm unbeaten against Leeds. And everyone were like, ooh, and stuff like that as well. But I don't think you're going to get any of that from Andre, you know, kind of next week, any sound bites.
Because we won't go unbeaten, that's why.
That's a thing. But
different animal that now, isn't it?
That stuff last night. But no, just real charm. And yeah, obviously, it's, you know, you could say, well, he's won the game on the back of that. He were always going to come across well. And after Darren Moore's, obviously, persona, yeah, we're going to come across well. But I don't know. You know what, last week, Matt, when you read that, the guy who messaged you would kind of giving us a bit of an heads up on, you know, on his kind of style and stuff like that as well. And he was saying, oh, he's not great for, like, a press conference and stuff. And I was like, oh, God, you know, not another more. But no, but he's so listenable. And that as well. And I noticed it'd be interesting this week because obviously he didn't want to give much team news information. I thought, oh, we've got another Mo situation again. But no, fascinating man, mate, and done so much in the game. And what a start for Huddersfield. And I was watching a Hanover game this weekend, or there was a game, and it mentioned him and said Huddersfield Town. So he obviously we're talking about Andre there. So it's big news over there. So yeah, no, it's just exciting. And I just can't think of a better game to have next week. And maybe an easy game, but I just think it's perfect. I'll be disappointed if it's not sold out for next Saturday.
I'm prepared to be disappointed, I think, next Saturday. Josh, what do you reckon then? The interviews, it's, you know, I think we deserve something a bit more upbeat, don't we, after what we've had with, I think, three of the last four have been a bit dour, haven't they? Well, Matt Fotheringham wasn't dour. He was good for a quote, wasn't he? He was just a bit weird, wasn't he, sometimes? But, I mean, we've had a couple of boring ones, haven't we? So it's good, isn't it, to have someone who gives good quality information as well as being a little bit sort of, or feeling that he's happy to be where he is.
Yeah, I think he just, like Cosy just said, he just comes across as a bloke who has been there, done that. You know what I mean? He's managed at bigger clubs than Huddersfield, you know what I mean? Especially sort of your Schalkers and teams like that. And doesn't seem like anything really sort of faze him. And it starts just to sort of listen to a bloke who, as you say, is a bit more upbeat, tells you sort of as it is, what he wants to do, how we try to do it. And it's a bit more straight to the point and fans can get behind that. Do you know what I mean? He's been quite refreshing. You know what I mean? He came across, I think, like I say, his club interview when he first came over, he came across really well, just chatting about how he's already been here. And he sort of went out with, didn't he go out with Heff and Kachunga or something for some food and drinks or something after the game? He just comes across a good bloke. And like you say, he's got the CV to match. So you're just going to sort of look and listen. And there's nothing not to be impressed by so far, I don't think.
Tell you what, let's have a break there and then you can listen to me and Cosy try and flog you NordVPN with the link in the blurb. And then we'll come back and talk about the last two items.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Cosy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, boys. I got this on Saturday.
That advert's you so cringe, adverts. Sorry. NordVPN. Still buy
it's
it,
because we did it separately. We recorded the bit separately, didn't we? And then I had to put it all together. And you had no idea what we're asking for either.
I was thinking in my seat last week, we're listening to that.
I got sent this on Saturday. What do you reckon?
Kevin Nagle. Kevin Nagle. He likes the Masters. He likes the Nixons. His moustache is massive. Kevin Nagle. He likes the Masters. He likes the Nixons. His moustache is massive.
Wow.
There you go. Might need some work, but it's a good start. I like the moustache is massive bit. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Kev will like that as well. If it's
Josh,
if it's
what were the manager chant?
It would basically sort of stereotypical anything that'll fit Brighton Writer in.
Oh, is it Brighton Writer?
Brighton Writer's Barmy Army and stuff like that, yeah.
Right, okay. So I could get it right for Saturday.
Yeah. No one's come up without original yet, I don't think.
Give it time.
Couldn't fit into a song, does it, to be fair? No.
Right, shall we have a look at the relegation picture? So Cosmoceratops himself asked about the form table, didn't you, Cosy? I mean, next week's opponents are top of the last 10 form. This is quite frightening, really. The last 10 games, Leeds are top, having won 9 and lost 1, and on 27 points, 8 points more than who's in second place, which is obviously Leicester, then Southampton, who are on a bit of a wobble. Ipswich, Hull, who were doing well. Norwich, Wagner's turned around. I'm a bit pissed off with Wagner again on Saturday. He's failed to do us a favour many times this season, as Dave. And again, against Blackburn, it's just like, let that lead slip again. But they're up there in 6th. Coventry, Preston, West Brom. Sheffield Wednesday are in 10th. Slightly worrying. Sheffield Wednesday, Danny Rowles doing that great job.
Over next the last two games, Rotherham away and Plymouth home. Next two for Wednesday. Yeah, they've got good. They'll be thinking, here
Plymouth,
we go, get out.
Plymouth have won a few away games now. Plymouth won at Bury, didn't they? And they, I can't remember where they won before that. They've won two now. Before that, they were absolutely gash on the road, weren't they? Yeah, that was it. I can't remember. But it's they've done what they're turning things around away from home. QPR at 11th, and then Huddersfield at 12th in the last 10 games. So if we start looking, so Plymouth are pretty much level with us, just conceded more goals. Sunderland 14th, Middlesbrough 15th, Swansea are in 16th. Swansea got an annoying win as well, didn't they, at the weekend, which was frustrating because they were starting to slip a little bit. In 17th, Birmingham, who are without Tony Mowbray for a while, so I'm not sure how they'll cope with that. All the best to Tony Mowbray. 18th, Watford. 19th, Millwall, who unbelievably pulled out that finish. Cardiff are 20th, despite winning at the weekend, which was against Stoke, wasn't it? 2-1. Bristol City, fourth bottom. Blackburn are still down there, third bottom. Stoke, second bottom, with 8 points in 10 games. And Rotherham, with no wins in the last 10 games and 3 draws. That's Rotherham. I think it's, like I said last week, I don't like to go all second tier podcast, but I think Rotherham are pretty much doomed, aren't they?
Yeah, their guys who I know from their pod, they were predicting when they're going to go down now. They reckon Easter. That's how bad it is. They're predicting when they're going, they're having a party. Yeah.
I don't mind Rotherham as a football club, so I feel a little bit bad for them. I quite like Rotherham.
You know what, though, Matt? They're going to have a big say in it on who goes down, because obviously we've got to go there. Wednesday got to go there. It's weird. Sometimes when you're done, all of a sudden you'll pull out a few results. So I think obviously we're there a week on Saturday, aren't we? And I just don't think, was it 2 weeks Saturday? But I'm not sure it's going to be as easy as some people think. So it'll be tough.
Yeah. They're a scrappy team. They're a scrappy team still, Rotherham. They're not giving up.
Do you remember when we were saying it? We were saying Rotherham were probably gone, weren't we? But any like 2 from 3, and now all of a sudden there's 9 in it now.
I always felt someone had dropped through. I always felt someone had dropped through. I was looking at Blackburn more than anyone because of their form. But you look at the last 6 games as well. Leeds obviously top with 100% record. Preston are second in the last 6 games. I don't know what's going on there because they look like they were going to fall away. Ipswich third, Hull fourth, Leicester fifth, Norwich, West Brom. And then Town are 9th in the last 6 games. And cast your minds back to when we had Darren Moore, didn't we? Those wonderful days of Mordor. And I'm just going to bring up Town's results here. We were looking, weren't we, at that run of 4 games where it started with Plymouth at home. And we put so much stock, didn't we, in that little run of games there, which was Huddersfield, Plymouth, away at Blackburn, away at QPR, and at home against Sheffield Wednesday. We put so much in that, didn't we? Sort of saying we need 8-9 points maximum. Otherwise, Darren Moore's gone, etc. And obviously, Darren Moore went after 3 because 3-1-1 draws. And then we beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0. And we didn't think that was going to be enough to keep us out of the bottom 3 during this period that we were worried about. So during that period, we got 6 points in those 4 games. And then we were really worried about Southampton, Sunderland, Hull, Watford, Leeds, Cardiff, West Brom, and to be fair, we went to Southampton and we were winning until 10 minutes before the end. Sunderland we won, which we got them at a good time, I think, because Mick Beale was just having a thing. And if you look at Mick Beale's he's been caught on Twitter, you know, praising himself, it's fantastic from his business account. And then Hull was unlucky. We lost in the last seconds to Hull again, like we covered last week.
Look how well they're doing though now.
Yeah, and then they went to Southampton and won, didn't they? And then Town have beaten Watford. So we've won two of the 4 games which we were worried about, and we didn't think we'd win 2 during this period. So we've done it.
And we've signed big money strikers. I've made absolutely zero contribution. Obviously, Ely could be, sounds like done for the season from what I'm hearing. And Radulovic, obviously, has got a cold, but they've had no impact. There's only Town could do that, isn't there? So get some strikers in. And the guy that we've got back who's been injured for ages is the guy that's doing the business and the big money guys. Honestly, Town just defies science, man, doesn't it?
No helic either, is it, for most of it?
No, it's just unbelievable. Just looking at Millwall's, Millwall obviously total free fall. Out of nothing, they're getting that win. It sounds like we're a bit of a smash and grab. And then the next three games are Watford at home, Blackburn away, and Birmingham at home. So all of a sudden, they might be revitalised.
They could win those. And they've just got the new manager bounce.
Neil Harris, they love him there, don't they? So they'll be, it'll be different now.
I'm not sure he's a good manager, though, Neil Harris. I've never really been won over by him as a manager. I think he might be good short-term, maybe, for a bit of a bounce for Millwall. But long-term, I'm not sure he's going to
The only thing is, we've got Stoke and Millwall at home, and you're thinking, yeah, at home, but the pressure's going to be huge on them games.
I think Stoke's away, isn't it, for us?
Stoke's away, isn't it?
Sorry, it's away. We're Warnock's last game, wasn't it? So, yeah, but, yeah, just, it's that's why yesterday, I think, was so massive for us, because, like, all of a sudden, the pressure, I mean, obviously, we delivered that Sheffield United game with, and that Reading game were a bit of a non-event under Warnock last game of the season, but you wouldn't want it to go down to right the wire, especially we've got Ipswich and stuff. So just to pick up that win yesterday, just absolutely so huge for us and that as well, because next Saturday, I mean, God, this Pete, honestly, the build-up's going to be unbelievable, isn't it? Obviously, Carmichael, Dave and Mr. Nagel started.
I hate the build-up. It's the most cringy shit you will see on Twitter between the shittest banter that fly, or what excuses for banter, flying back and forth. It's just horrendous. I just take the week off Twitter. I just find it absolutely pathetic from people who are adults and both ways. They're worse than us, but Jesus Christ, it's cringy. But I mean, these next three games, Leeds, Cardiff, West Brom, if we get 3 points from the three games there, then we've done really well, haven't we? I think that's maybe what we've got to try and target. If we get three draws, amazing. If we win one of those three, amazing. I think that's pretty much what we've got to look for. And then we've got Rotherham, Coventry and Stoke. And I mean, and then Millwall, Preston are on fire. And you just, the thing is with this league, or the point I was going to make is we won last year, didn't we? But we look at those four games, don't we? And we just sort of think, we expected points in those four games. It didn't come how we thought. And then all of a sudden, we've picked up two wins from a group of fixtures we didn't think we'd do anything in. So you never know how the championship's going to be, do you? You can't sort of sit here and look in too far ahead, because the form dips so wildly in and out for so many teams. I mean, you look at Coventry on the 29th of March, and they're not playing that great at the minute, but come 29th of March, they could be flying again. It's just, like you say, Leeds have won 9 out of the last 10, which is phenomenal. They're on an incredible run. I mean, if they come to us and we win on Saturday and it sparks a downfall, you just never know in the championship. It's unlikely, I know, but it's just an unbelievably good league, isn't it? And you just can't predict what's going to happen. So Town just need to keep picking up points game by game, And if we can get three in the week from those three games, although we're playing West Brom on Sunday, aren't we? So 3 points in those 8 days, that'd be some good work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we just got to hold his nerve, Matt, because like he's got obviously positioning in the games. All of a sudden, you know, let's hope we can get something on Saturday. But if we don't, and then results go against us, everyone's going to be like sat there at 3 o'clock watching, you know, soccer Saturday, and oh my God, you know, we're in the bottom three, because we could be in the bottom three again. As good as it feels at the moment, we could be in there again, and then so we're going to have to wait a little bit then for the Sunday game with West Brom, obviously Cardiff in between, and. You know what? It's a bit dangerous at the moment, Matt, because it just feels, I just kind of feel at the moment we're not going down. We've got too many good players. We've got a good head coach. I think that's just so dangerous. I'm thinking like that.
I don't think we will, but I think everyone else down there might be thinking similar as well. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those
Stoke
things.
Stoke all think they're
I'd
going down.
I'd rather be in that position as Stoke.
Yeah, Millwall would have thought that though until yesterday, though, and then they've won. So it just takes some mad result like we got. Which were our game? Were it Millwall away last year under Warnock? Which were the game that kind of sparked it for us last year?
Millwall away, wasn't it?
Yeah. Millwall were like, for the top six, weren't they? And we won Danny Ward again. He likes this time of year, don't he? Yeah. It was the draw against Norwich, wasn't it, where we came back against Norwich, and then that just seemed to...
God, because us at start season, give us a mid-table season, and, you know, honestly, you'd have a bit of fun, wouldn't you? What?
The thing is, though, to get a mid-table season, you have to be going for the playoffs, don't you, and fall short in this league, otherwise you're in a relegation scrap.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Because, like, I looked the other week, all were like 12, and you're thinking, God, their season's petering out, and all of a sudden they're up as well.
Good side, Hull. So you look at the table now, and Hull are sixth, and they'll be playing Ipswich, and they've got Norwich and Preston 3 points behind them, and Coventry have just dropped off to ninth. And I don't think anyone below ninth is now going to trouble that top six, which is Sunderland, Watford, Bristol City, Middlesbrough. I think they're struggling, aren't they, to do anything. But I mean, I still think from 15 down, you could get relegated. And it starts at Plymouth. Plymouth, I think, are too good to go down. I think if you've got
their home form keeps them up, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you've got a 17-goal striker like Morgan Whittaker playing for you as well, that keeps you up, doesn't it? Pretty much, if you've got someone who can bang goals in like that, I think they're going to be fine. And then Blackburn are 16th at the minute, but they still, they've had a little bump with Eustace, haven't they? But I'm still not convinced that they're particularly great. Swansea, I know, had a win, but they like their manager, don't they? And I think they think they're a decent side, but they've not been on the best form. Birmingham have got the Mowbray thing. Is that going to have a negative effect? Because Mark Venus is a bit ropey. Town have lost the least amount of games in the bottom half of the table, but we've also won the least amount. so we're a tough side to beat. I think a Millwall again. They've got the Neil Harris factor. QPR are out of the relegation zone for the first time, and you've got Stoke have dropped in, and Stoke have. I don't know if they've maybe dropped in too early, but you know they've got time to get themselves out of it. But there's something weird going on at Stoke. There's, you know, Ricky Martin, and you know. Shebangs, living La Vida Stoker, whatever you want to say. He's gone, hasn't he, their director of football. There's rumours Schumacher might be replaced by Gareth Ainsworth, which is really bizarre.
Oh, dear.
And then below that, Sheffield Wednesday are still three points adrift, but they were far more points adrift than that at one point. They were like 8, 9, 10 points away, weren't they? So they're still going. And then Rotherham, 19 points, bless them, 3 wins all season. They are 16 points away from Stoke. So, yeah, I think they're done and dusted, aren't they?
I think the good thing for us, Matt, I mean,
Everyone's got a chance.
Best thing, looking at our, you know, I know it sounds a bit daft again, yes, because we're back to two keepers on the bench, but it was a bit of a unique situation because obviously Sauber went on the morning of the game. But when you think, you know, we'll have Thomas back and Bolker back, you know, fingers crossed for next week and hopefully Oggs fit or what have you. Yeah, Helic, all of a sudden we're going to have a good bench, and obviously probably won't match what Leeds will have, but it's still decent, mate, and options, and Andre can, you know, change things as well, and that's what gives me heart. And I always think I don't look at other teams kind of thinking, you know, they're in a bigger issues, because that Millwall thing just summed it up yesterday. It's like you're thinking they're in free fall. There's no way they're going to do anything, and that'll have knackered so many coupons up yesterday, and you know everyone's. So especially when Southampton come back and levelled it, you're thinking, okay, normal service is resumed. But yeah, and then you've got obviously the added thing that there's going to be games on Fridays and Sunday dinner time. So there's going to be people scattered. It's about holding you. We know what we needed to do last season, but I'd rather have it done a bit earlier. And obviously we got a bit of luck with some points deductions last year, which we won't get this year. But I just feel we've got a better squad, the better players. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were kind of banging on about... You know, Andre's kind of I've not said his second name yet still, but yeah, right, just like his lack of experience in the championship. But I just thought that would kind of being a bit disrespectful to his CV. I don't think it matters really for me. Yeah. It's like he knows football. He'll be paid handsomely by Mr. Nagle. He won't come cheap, and he ain't come to go down. That I just think it's so exciting for us that if we can just stay up, we could have a great summer. You know, getting players in. You know that. Obviously, he'll have some nice contacts, and I think we could have a nice future. But it's you don't want to look too far ahead, do you? And that as well. But I just think Saturdays. I know it's early days for kind of previewing it, but it's. When I think of the game last in October, Moore had come, and didn't we just get slammed against Cardiff in the midweek, or was that after? Yeah. I can't remember. Was that before or after that? Was it before? It was before, wasn't it? Was that Wednesday before the Saturday, wasn't it? When they smashed us, and then you go into Elland Road just on the, you know, here we go again, and. But this, I just think the mindset's going to be totally different next week. And yeah, obviously a long shot, but we'll give them a game and we'll give them things to think about. And yeah, it's time to be positive, I think, now to be a Town fan and that as well. It's, you know, on the back of yes. I'd have still said this even if we'd have probably lost yesterday, Josh. I just think that, you know, we've got a lot more weapons in our, you know, armoury than we had before. We've got a decent head coach. We've... The crowd seem to be back behind the team, and the town seem to be back in the areas, seem to be back behind the club again and stuff. You've only got to gauge that by looking at some of the posts on X and Facebook before everything. Someone could post something about, I don't know, the fan zone, and the next thing there'll be 6 comments about load of crap and it's cold. And there's only Matt Bonds now about not doing a breakfast. What was that guy, Matt? I saw you piping up on one.
I can't remember. What have I done?
I think some guy who. is it a local guy who does the cuisine on that as well? They were wanting a breakfast one year, and but he only does a lunch or something. I should have pulled it out, shouldn't I? But,
I have no idea what you're on about. Are you sure it's not a different match show? There's like three match shows.
Someone from Dalton or someone does some food down there, and you were saying, oh, we need a. I think people saying, oh, do you want to do a breakfast sandwich on Saturday because it's a 10 o'clock start or whatever and that as well. And you were saying,
not me, so if not enough, me, mate.
Well, I'm going to have to finish just talk until I get this and that as well.
There's about three different Matt Shaws that comment on Facebook and other all right, towns. None of them are me.
Right, mate.
I think with the side we've got,
well, it sounds
now,
good though.
We're capable of causing anyone a problem.
Definitely,
that's the main thing for me.
I mean, you look at that three, don't
like, you? Like, say, when you've got players like Bergsorg, people like that, Caroma, we've got the players to cause anyone a problem. We might not, Saturday, we'll probably lose because they're a better side than us, but there's no to say we can't cause them problems and give them a bloody nose. Do you know what I mean? And if we take the lead, you never know, do you? It's just one of them. And I think that's the good position we're in at the moment. We've got players back. We've got a bench there with players coming back. And we can cause team problems. And we're showing with the style of play we're playing we can do. So that's, for me, puts us in a position where I'm a bit more like, well, hopefully we'll be all right.
On the main event, what's the latest on Sandwich Gate?
I need to apologise here. So
I'll pass it over.
So it's Burger Honley, the club have quoted it. Says, Huddersfield Town fans, on the games that have a 12 p.m. or 12:30 kickoff, should we serve our usual burgers or loaded fries or breakfast sandwiches and breakfast in a box? We'll only have enough power on site to serve one or the other. But it was Neil who piped up. Sorry, Matt. Oh, no. Matt, I really apologise. I'm sure you did, but you were looking as though you didn't have a clue. So, yeah, put the burgers on. But on the early kickoffs, breakfast sandwiches would be great. And his quote, Tom Nolan, so we must know him with that as well. And yeah, people are wanting breakfast. So what an ending to the pod. It's shambles, isn't it? But so hopefully breakfast next sandwich. Saturday, Burger Only are going to be doing breakfast sandwiches. And
Neil will be happy.
Yeah.
And I think we'll end it there. So, right, thanks to Magic Rock for sponsoring us. Thanks, Cozzy. Thanks, Josh. Thanks to Burger Honley for providing the breakfast sandwiches next week. And enjoy your week, everyone.
There's a team that is dear to its followers. The colours are bright blue and white. They're a team of renown. They're the pride of the town, and the game of football is their delight. And all the while, upon the field of play, thousands loudly cheer them on the way. Often you can hear them say, who can beat the town today? And then the bells will ring so merrily, and every goal shall be a memory. So town, play up and bring that cup back to Huddersfield. So town, play up, bring the cup back to
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now via the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.